Ho, Silver Lining, and welcome to the Daily Music Guide, the show that treats the music it loves with the ridicule it so clearly deserves. I am Andrew Collins, and I may not be a lady, but I am all woman. God, they put a lot of hormones in those turkeys these days. Now, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Barra. Slacks on, that is. And over the next 30 minutes, we are going to be on fire with a whole sally field of music news. And as rumoured by the Roman calendar, it's almost the end of the year. So when exactly, over the last 365 days, did the music gain a rattling cough? Was it in March when Joe Brand and Ruby Wax pretended to be the Cheeky Girls on Fame Academy? The Cheeky Girls were said to be furious as it made a mockery of their arse. Sorry, made a mockery of their art. Or could it have been when Dido became the biggest-selling artist of the year? When her fans were asked to comment, they said they'd love to, but they felt pleasantly snoozy and couldn't be bothered to move from their beanbags. Now, here at Radio 2, the festivities refuse to end. And lazy as I am, I've been scooping up the discarded crackers from last week, hoping there's enough material in them to make a book or at least an after-dinner speech. Here's one then. All right. My dog's got no septum. How does it smell? Like Stevie Nicks. I don't really get that one.
No, I don't understand it. I've got one here that I've also scooped from the bowels of beneath my parents' table. What's worse than biting into an apple and finding a worm?
I don't know, John.
The second Stone Roses album.
Oh, yeah. I once broke my grandmother's wrist while pulling a cracker. I just thought I'd tell you that. Here's one. Dr. Dre, I think I'm a badass mother. Pull yourself together.
In the words of Joe Dolce, shut up a you face. As you know by now, and in the new year, words of Bono, under a blood-red sky, a crowd in black and white has gathered. Admittedly, it's a crowd of two. All the way from the streets with no name, it's John Holmes. And still 24 hours from Tulsa, it's Robin Ince. So, John, when did the music die for you this year?
It was 3 days last summer, Andrew, and it was all the fault of Robbie Williams. I just wanna feel real love, feel the home that I live in. And what happened there, I was stuck on the M1 for a week because of his gig at Nebworth. You know, remember when it blocked up the whole country?
Yeah.
And nobody could get anywhere because the M1 was just packed with cars. I was there for a week. I was so hungry, I had to eat a lady in a Peugeot next to me just to stay alive. Not straight away, obviously, because we were stuck there for a week, so I took for a drink on Tuesday. We were making love by Wednesday. By Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I was starving, so I ate her. And she gave me terrible wind. And that's all the fault of Robbie Williams. So that's when it died for me this year.
And people are still there in that traffic jam.
Still there now.
Like Woodstock. They never came back. Robin?
And the angry butcher, of course. The angry butcher of Nebworth Village, who complained his sausages weren't selling as quickly due to Robbie Williams.
I'd have bought them instead. I wouldn't have had to eat a lady.
Robin, when did you stop believing in a thing called love?
Well, I stopped believing in a thing called love at an award ceremony this year when I saw the worst, most unpleasant display of pretend sapphic kissing I've ever seen, and all because of this woman. Yes, it's been a funny old sapphic year, what with Tattoo, the extremely bored pretend lesbians from Russia, and then Madonna and Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears and the Veils, and I just felt I've never seen such gasping for air during a lesbian kiss of publicity. And it made me feel a bit poorly.
Madonna, she's everywhere now, like an old lady when you don't want to. You know, and that's life. You used to have that old granny who was on every week in the street, and she would sometimes kind of lift her skirt up and show her knickers off. That's Madonna in a couple of years' time.
Hey, you! Don't eat that! Eat this! Oh, what fun you'll have this Christmas with the Madness official Nutty Boys assorted Christmas nut selection! It's the skankin' snack box that'll make your scar party go nuts on the Nutty Boys nut boat to Cairo! Suggsy himself has personally chosen a variety of his favourite nuts for your pleasure.
Nuts, Brazil nuts.
This perfect gift comes with solid steel Chaz Smash nutcrackers, a pork pie hat, a pork pie, and a hat. So for this Christmas, it must be nuts. Nuts, nuts. The Nutty Boys assorted nut selection. Warning, may contain traces of skinhead.
So, who's on before the Glastonbury Brass Band this week? Well, for those about to rock, John Holmes guides you through the gigs that you'll be sick outside this festive period. If sanity is the disease, then this man is the cure. He's madder than the hell from which bats come from. Steve Mad Brown. Sometimes I curse Benjamin Franklin for inventing electricity and Coco the Clown for inventing makeup. For if neither existed, then surely nor would synth dandy Gary Lestrange. Despite your letters, we unleash him for one final time. and will be pulling out all the stops, then putting most of them back in again as we find a new singing sensation. Yes, we've finally got some proper new music for you. So, John, as New Year approaches, where do you go to, my lovely?
Well, Andrew, I've been looking ahead to what gigs are coming up regionally in the new year. We'll start then in London. On the day before New Year's Eve, due to a mistake, punk band Kalashnikov Knitwear are having a salsa class at the disappointing pub chain and Firkin in Streatham. Tickets are on the door, literally. Just tear one off as you go in. If you like jazz, then you'll hate Zoe Wanamaker's R2 unit, because they play repetitive drum and bass without stopping on every other Thursday of 2004. But starting on New Year's Day, they're named after the actors, I'm sure you know, Zoe Wanamaker and a low-level maintenance droid. Three boys and the one hermaphrodite are at the Portsmouth Tummy Banana in Brighton. Bring a hammer. From the ashes of S Club 7 rise SS Club 7. The ones that aren't doing so well post-S Club have got back together and are cashing in as a neo-Nazi band on the skinhead circuit. They're in residency at the Admiral Patsy Kensit pub in Essex to celebrate the 13th day of Christmas, which, as we all know, is 13 children texting, and they'll actually have 13 children texting on stage, and it starts at 7:30 with fighting at 9. Thanks to the success of The Darkness in 2003, metal is back. And if guitars are your thing, then on the day after New Year's Day, Toxic Rock Syndrome play the Brixton Academy. They, of course, are the band that are famous for always starting a new song before they finish the old one. Tickets are free because it's being filmed for GMTV. What else is there? Also, beginning on the 2nd of January, the 39 Steps, that's the 39-piece tribute band to Steps, are on a tour of old fridges left on rubbish tips. Check local press for details. Also, they did very well over the festive season. You probably saw them on Top of the Pops last week. Santa Claus 28. The band, named after an old Conservative bill to prevent the promotion of Christmas in schools, are doing a live series of dates kicking off at the Ainslie Harriet Centre in Scotland this week. And finally, the Stevie Wonder-alike Cat in the Hat is back with his 2004 Christmas afternoon film tour, Bridge Over Jamiroquai. He'll be dancing and popping on stage while a battalion of World War II soldiers led by Sir Alec Guinness try to build a bridge over him and then blow it up with bombs. Bring a leopard. That's your New Year gig roundup. I want to see everybody's hands in the air. Thank you, Andrew Collins, and good night.
At last, Radio 2 and the BBC's Natural History Unit have finally come together to bring you one of the most beautiful spectacles of life on Earth.
I'm a real wild one.
Wild one.
The
wild
release one, of Iggy Pop back into the wild.
Well, the handlers are lowering the cage into the long grass. There's a great sense of anticipation here. After 50 years in captivity, this magnificent beast is being returned to his natural habitat.
Steady, steady, Iggy, steady.
The great concern with a release like this is that Iggy may have spent too long with humans and be too soft to survive on his own. I see on the horizon a herd of gazelles, slightly nervous.
Yeah!
And there he goes! This really is a magnificent sight. The scrawny king of the jungle galloping across the plains with his trousers around his ankles like a majestic... Oh my goodness, he's down, he's down! Roy Wood of the Move and Wizard fame has leapt from a dry creek bed and has taken Iggy down with one bite of his powerful jaws. Oh dear, tragic.
The Wild Ones. Pop music red in tooth and claw. Only on Radio 2 this festive season.
Well, music may well be my first love, but every now and again, something comes along that makes me want a quickie divorce. Initially, I gave him the benefit of the doubt and presumed he was part of a Norris McWhirter-sponsored record-breaking attempt to see just how long you can hide in the Radio 2 building without being thrown out by security. Well, this man has proved that it's at least 7 weeks, and he's still here. It's Gary Lestrange. Hello, Gary.
All right, Andrew. How you doing?
I'm all right, but I noticed you've got a tear painted on your face there. Yeah. Or was that a mistake?
No, I'm feeling quite sad this week, actually, for several reasons. I want to apologise, first of all, for being so angry last week.
That's okay, it was nice to see a bit of spirit in you.
Well, I just felt really guilty about it, and I went away after that, and I went on a big bender for a few days, totally missed Christmas.
So, you're down. Don't be. Look, there's jokes all around the studio. This is a good one. You're like this. Doctor, doctor, can't you see I'm burning? Ha! You Thompson twins never put yourself out for anyone. It's good.
Yeah, right.
So you're so sad you haven't even written a song for us this week then. That's a
shame. Yeah, I've done that. I get very reflective around this time of year, and I don't know what happened. I sort of went into a trance and I just sank into the quicksand of my thoughts and came up with this strange piece of work. I think it's a reflection on what's gone and what is to come in the following year in the world of music. I'm not really exactly sure what it means.
Well, what's it called?
Goodbye.
No, what's it called?
Goodbye.
And in the olden days, used to like our pop stars to be different. They used to set the trends, and we would follow. We never cared a lot if they could sing as long as they were funny. That was the total point of being a pop star. But look around us now, our pop stars are all really dull, like Justin What's-His-Name and Kenneth the Tedium. Thank God it's over. That was the worst year of our lives. Goodbye, bye, bye, gone days, bygone days gone by. Goodbye, bye, bye, gone days, bygone days, oh, days gone, bygone days. And in the future age, we welcome the birth of a new messiah. Not a religious one, I mean a pop star. I don't recall his name, but he wears fronts and kilts and frilly collars and a Venetian mask and lots of makeup. And when you see his hands, you'll wish you had hands just like his. And when you hear the voice, he says he knows the new way.
What a way to end the series, Gary. That's the funniest one you've done yet.
Oh, I feel a hell of a lot better after hearing that, yeah.
So do I. Excellent. Yeah. First comedy record.
Oh, thank you.
What? Hi, I'm Nicky from Westlife, and you're listening to The Music Died Today on Radio 2.
Gifts at Christmas are difficult to give, but normally a nightmare to receive. The moment my relatives found out that I thought comedy was good, the Phil Call albums flooded in. So as this year people will have gleefully unwrapped their presents, only to discover it's the greatest love songs ever, or a Tweenies album, only to be told by a smug aunt, "Hope it's what you want. I was told you liked pop music." Well, gentlemen, in the words of the Buzzcocks, what did you get?
I got Twisted Sister Twister. We all played that on Christmas afternoon. It was brilliant. Such fun, because Dee Snider came round, you know, screaming. And every time he put his permed hand on a blue spot, and he was out very quickly.
Cherry Halliwell's Old Spice aftershave I got. It's okay, but it's in this really unattractively thin bottle. Did you get the present I sent you?
Yes, I did. The Roy Wood from Wizard outfit, which turned out just to be a cheaply made Harry Potter thing, and which caught light the moment I left it near the fire.
I was quite proud. I got some clothes as well. I got a ZZ top. and to go with that, a Dire Straits jacket.
Also got the book 100 Uses for a Dead Kennedy.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. This jumper's no good because it's Ronnie size.
I bought my dad that Black & Decker pop toolkit. Have you seen that in B&Q? It's got an MC hammer, an adjustable spanner, and a pair of Shakademus pliers.
Okay, let's clear all this stuff off the table, because here is the definitive top 10 most returned musical gifts this Christmas. At 10, it's the George Michael I Want Your Socks sock and pants set. Up to 9, it's Racy Island, the must-have tie-in toy, showing the secret island base of Western Supermare hitmakers Racy. People returned loads of these after Blue Peter showed you how to make one for half price using only a squeezy bottle and the outside bits of a tortoise. A non-mover at 8, it's the rewarding bath time gift that is Julian Cope on a rope. Down 1-7, a big box of Cadbury's Stone Roses. After all the excitement when Cadbury's launched the Stone Roses chocolate box 5 years ago, disappointed customers this Christmas claimed the long-awaited new box was stodgy and disappointing and only contained green triangles. Although our producer's mum likes those. In at six, it's the Human League Love Action Man. We're returning it because one of his eagle eyes was obscured by a floppy fringe. Sorry, don't want you, baby. But still at five, it's the Game of West Life. I've received this 4 Christmases in a row and I'm bloody sick of it. Up 3-4, it's the Suede Repair Kit, although I might keep mine in the utility room because it will come in handy in 8 years' time for the inevitable Britpop revival. Into the top three now, and at three, it's the old school bathroom gift set, including a bath salt, bath pepper, and a Spinderella plug cosy. At two, it's the Grateful Dead's Hungry Hippies game. After a few hours smoke-filled play, the hippies become too hungry and try and empty your fridge. And the most returned musical gift this Christmas is, of course, the Mark Morrison Kaggle. Yes, one size does not fit all, and I am returning the Mac.
Remember the knee-trembling excitement as we counted down to the millennium. A new year, a new age beckoning, accompanied by songs of the time. But now those songs are gone, made redundant by the creeping passage of time. Or are they? DMD Records proudly brings you Reduced to Clear, a collection of dated and time-worn classics like Prince's 1999. Or slap on some corduroys and nod to the pulp masterpiece. Were you there at the fountain at 2 o'clock? I wasn't, but with Reduced to Clear, you can be again. Buy Reduced to Clear now and receive this bonus CD featuring those songs that just don't work anymore on any level. He's out. Play it all you like, mate. Those days are gone. And actually, I think you'll find that Coventry has recently undergone a great deal of urban regeneration. Reduced to Clear by DMD Records. In the bargain bin at Woolies now.
More cracker jokes then, I think, gentlemen. What's black and white and not read by as many people as it used to be? The enemy.
How do you know a meatloaf is hiding in your fridge?
I don't know, Robin.
He leaves footprints in the butter.
Why did the primal scream?
Because the prefab sprouts.
Oh, you've heard it.
Oh, sorry. I wrote it. Now, ever since the arrival of Bill Gates gave us spell check and punctuation and grammar facilities in our PCs, we have no excuse for poor sentence construction. Mind you, the fact that it's all American annoys me a bit. The other day I typed in, I am away to Paris for the weekend, comma, see you soon, full stop. And it corrected that to, I am off to consort with the hellhound enemies of all that is good, chew on my freedom fries, you mother-loving commie. Anyway, that is nothing to the rage inside Steve Brown, a man who rages so hard that even the Reverend Ian Paisley has suggested he calm down.
Steve Brown's mad as hell.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
2003 will always be, for me, the year that we lost one of the most important figures in popular music. No, not Johnny Cash, David Sneddon. Yeah, he jacked it in because he said the charts were crap. And listen to his single.
He sits alone at a table in a small cafe, drowning his tears in a bottomless cup of coffee.
Coffee? Cafe? They don't rhyme. What do they teach him at that Fame Academy? Proof that he can't write for taffe. So the reason he went from obscurity to being a has-been without ever really being famous in between is because, like so many people, he can't write lyrics, or, as Sting put it, lyrics should mean something, shouldn't they, Lulu?
Love, 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 love.
Come again?
Love, 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 love.
Don't let people go on about the good old days. They can still write rubbish lyrics even now.
My breath smells like a million fags. And blimey, what rhymes with fags? Bags, snags, sack. I know. When I dance like me dad.
That is wrong in so many ways.
In the morning when I wake up, look like Kiss but without the makeup. And that's a good line to take it to the bridge.
First, him? Bridge? No. Second, we'll be the judge of whether that's a good line to take you to the bridge or not. And third, the line referred to doesn't actually take it to the bridge. The line that takes it to the bridge is, that's a good line to take it to the bridge. You get it? It's on a par with Spandau Ballet.
Why do I find it hard to write the next line?
Because you're rubbish.
No one for to give you no pain.
No one to give you no pain means someone's giving you pain. Trust a bunch of old hippies to use a double negative. You know, Paul Simon didn't write,
not unlike a bridge that isn't not over.
I'm fed up with all this gobbledygook. It just remains for me now to wish you all a very happy new year in the traditional way.
We twain have underboat the breeze and pulled the going's fine, but we've wandered many a weary foot in old.
Why do I bother?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Now, let's be honest. Cards on the table time. We haven't been sent a single letter or email since we started this series 8 weeks ago. However, this week we broke our duck when this cassette arrived through the post. It was from a diehard folk fan. I knew this because the letter was written on wool using fresh woad. The cassette and letter turned out to be from Perkin Warrant, a man with a mission, and that mission is to get onto Radio 2's Mike Harding Show, the best in folk roots and acoustic, every Wednesday. Perkin, delighted to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here on your show.
And you're using us, basically, to get to another show.
Yes. I don't listen to this show, but a friend of mine did, more by accident than design, and he suggested I send you a tape. I send tapes to Mike Harding's show every week, and tapes and clothes in hair, but I never get a reply. So he suggested, well, why don't you try, he said, there's a show on Saturday afternoons and they most likely play anything.
Well, you haven't been sent anything, so this will be the first time.
Well, what I've got for you, Alan, is a folk song. It's a quiz song along the lines of the old quiz songs of the Niblocks, who are a contact based band. Well, let's see if you can guess who it's about, really. There's a challenge for you, Adam.
Well, you've got the finest minds of a musical generation here around the studio, so...
There's a clue in the chorus. She's got one name like Moby, Sting or Wogan. And she's got one song which she sings over and over again. She's blonde and she's bland and she's breathy. Oh, she's classically trained and she's comfortably trite. The lyrics are tepid, the sentiment mild, and I think the tunes are just sha. Oh, heart on variety died. Can you tell who it is? Can you that?
Not yet.
Quite difficult, that, isn't it?
It's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
See if this helped. When the meek do inherit the earth, they'll be singing her love songs. And if you're unsure of the words, you can just warble along. Oh, they say she is just like the girl lives next door. If she was, I'd move house and put dung through her letterbox. I blame that Yankee punk rocker Eminem. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have heard of her at all. Can you tell yet? Was there enough there?
You're so warm.
One might argue her music does just what it says on the tin. If 'twere a tin of cheap biscuits with only one flavour within. It's a cookie of clichés, a cracker of toss, a mouldy old bourbon of middle-class dross. Queen of the coffee table, sales never-ending. Don't raise the white flag, don't you ever surrender to. Come on, join in now.
Do.
Is it Lemmy from Motorhead?
No. Can I go to see Mike Harding now? Is it nearby?
We'll get one of our production team, Elaine, to show you down there.
Oh, that would be fantastic. She's the big one, isn't it? I like a big lady.
Hi, I'm Lisa Scottley, and you're listening to Die Music Die on Radio 2. How odd.
Well, for the last time in this series, just time to check next year's music news. Kerrang are sensationally leading with riotous pilgrimage to temple after pop idol leaks milk. Our favourite magazine of all time, Heat, has huntsmen and hounds accidentally terrorised Dr. Fox. And that has some quite gory but faintly pleasing pictures. And finally, the NME has this headline. Nick Cave captures rainbow but refuses to share colours with local community. Well, that's it. I've been Andrew Collins. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control. And I think I like it. Goodbye.
All right, here we go. For the last time. Should old acquaintance be forgot, The Day the Music Died was presented by Andrew Collins with John Holmes and Robin Ince, with guests Wayne Shepherd, Steve Brown, Paul Putner and Justin Edwards. Other old acquaintances included John Holmes, Robin Ince, Joel Morris, Paul Putner and Rob Heaney, who wrote it. The production team were Richard Evans, Elaine Wigley and Colin Anderson, soon to become old acquaintances. The Day the Music Died was devised and produced by old acquaintance Will Saunders. And a cup of kindness. Touch me deep inside today. The music.